Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This satsang, this radio program is for Christmas. Yes, December 25th, 2016. Very grateful to be with you on this Christmas day. I don't know what you're doing, and if you're listening to this, you must be nuts. I'm sure most people would be with their families, but if you're listening to this on Christmas Day, I am very grateful. I am absolutely humbled. Most people, you know, are doing their Christmas thing. I know. It's a family deal. I totally understand it. But there is also another aspect to it all. And hopefully we're going to be able to talk a little bit about it today. I want to thank you for being with me. It's a very important thing to understand the nature of Christmas. And on These questions came on December 18th. And I'm looking here. No, they came on December 10th, 9th, and December 8th. So these questions were given to me long ago, and I kept them, and I thought they were very wonderful. The people who offered me these beautiful questions were listeners like you who went to the Aspire website at aspire.org, and you can go there, hit the media button. And when you do, you'll see Satsang with Siraj. That's me. And you can click on that and send an email anytime you like. New Year's is coming up. If you have anything in your craw about that, I'd love to hear from you. Let's go to the questions. The first one comes to me from Jess. He does not tell me where he listens. Greg, I was raised Catholic for most of my life. I still go to the Catholic Church. Why, I don't know. But they have never explained to me who Jesus was. Was he the Son of God, Jess? Jess, you've got to examine your need to go to the church and to listen to people who are simply indoctrinating you. You need to take a deep look at that. Why do I need this? Why do I need to be told this? It's like politics and anything else that is kind of nebulous to us. We want to be told what to believe and how to believe in it and all that other good stuff. And hopefully this will pass in you and you will have a real seeking inside of you. So I just want to say that as a prelude. Who was Jesus? It's a very, very, just good question. He has been portrayed in many different ways as the King of Kings, as a martyr, as a miracle worker, as a great teacher, as a Messiah. So many things have been laid on his door. And we are told that he was all these things. And even the one you ask about, was he the Son of God? This term Son of God is not what we think of it as being. It isn't like you having a son and your son would be the son of Jess. It isn't like that at all. This term Son of God goes far deeper. It is about a spiritual place inside of you, inside of me, where everything exists as love, as the deepest, most profound state of love a person could ever touch. To us, love is emotion. To us, it's all about emotionality. It's all about right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, in, out, all of that stuff. We keep it in a very tight, small little box. But this thing of love, this does not come from Greg Penn emotionality. It doesn't come from what Greg Penn can think and believe in. This love that I am speaking about comes from a state of being that lives purely within you and me and everyone else. This is a gift, and biblically, it is called the sonship of a person. In other words, you have it intrinsically. You were created out of the universe. You are the universe. You are the moon, the stars. You are everything that is beautiful. And that is where you and I come from. We are the offsprings of that. Now, that isn't a theory. That isn't a philosophy. That isn't a religion. You can't make a religion out of that. So it has to be something that you come to from within yourself without the human mind, without intellect, without emotionality. There are some things that I cannot teach you that have no words to them. And you have to find it within yourself through the development of consciousness within you. And until consciousness has arisen in you, has become full force inside of you, you will never understand this idea of you being the Son of God too. In other words, you have those attributes. You didn't come here to be the son of your physical father, your earthly father. You came to awaken to that other part of you that is born inside of you in this world, in this life, if you work upon it, if you recognize it, if you so choose to incite it. Now, we can get into all sorts of things about Jesus and his lineage. And I don't care to go there because it just piles on thoughts inside your head about who you'd like to believe Jesus was. So I don't go into that kind of stuff. I know it. I've been taught it. I've researched it. You know, he was actually from a noble lineage. We could go into all of that, but I'm not going to. That's not really important in the sense of your question. Who was Jesus? Was he the Son of God? Meaning, was he special? Was he unique, like better than? Did he come here as a messenger? Yadda, yadda, yadda. These are the things that people think of. He came as the fulfillment of a deep and profound state of being consciousness that comes not from the world, that comes not from the mystery of, let's say, some kind of God that you can't know. Jesus was the fulfillment of a man who had within him a great love. When Jesus said God is love, he meant it. He is not talking about philosophy. Jesus is not giving religion and philosophy. I'm going to keep this as simple as I possibly can, Jess. He does not give religion. He is not giving philosophy. He is giving thee and me the opportunity for the direct experience to unfold within us. He called it the nature of being the Son of Man, not God, man. He talked of himself as the Son of Man, which means I am human. My physical body comes from being human. The human experience. But within that human experience is this divinity, is this divine, is this beautiful thing called the Christ. The Christ is the nature and the achievement that Jesus found within himself. He was not born perfect. He was born immaculate. And I'll talk about that in the next question. If you understand this ability, which you have and I have, but that we've thrown away, to awaken to something far more beautiful than anything we've ever conceived of, that we are far more than the concept of being merely human. You come into a place where love can finally reach you. Love can finally be the blooming of your entire being. You and I are here as love itself. And when love becomes more important to us than the nitty-gritty details of fulfilling our earthly emotionality, that is when we start to understand the path of a great love. Who was Jesus? Was he the Son of God? No more, no less than you. Don't get caught up in biblical stuff. It'll just confuse the heck out of you. Hear his teachings. Hear what he is offering. The Beatitudes being the most magnificent teachings that I think the world has ever heard before. They're simple, they're precise. They're absolutely the way to the Christ in you. Jess, I hope that this was not an intellectual question, but a real seeker's question, because it is an important one that you offer. Thank you for writing me, and please forgive me. Namaste. So many theories, so many beliefs, so many things. Jesus is a brand name. He's marketable, and that's exactly what people do. We need a God. We need something to put our hopes and wishes on. We need something to answer the prayer of our basic negligence. We're indifferent to working upon ourselves and awakening. So we want these gods to come in and do the work for us. Oh, please make this happen. Please make that happen. And it doesn't work like that. Next question comes from Sid, and he lives in San Diego. What is the meaning of the virgin birth? I never understood that in Sunday school, and it always turned me off. Is sex bad? Cannot Jesus be born of sex like anyone else? Sid. Yes, Sid. His body was born out of sexual intercourse. Really. I don't see how, religion always makes it kind of funky. In Buddhism, they say that Buddha was born out of the sleeve of his mother. It couldn't come out the vagina, that dirty thing, you know, just too crude. Jesus was born like anyone else. But let's talk about the virgin birth. It is not about a man and a woman and God impregnating a woman without telling her or without her permission. Now, that would be rape. And I've always been all over this with women. You guys running around saying you want equal rights, equal pay, and all that other stuff, but you don't deal with this. I mean, if you take it literally and the way religion would like you to take it, God raped Mary. Now, I don't know why you're not all over that and screaming and yelling about that, but I guess there are just some things that are just you don't do because you're afraid of the repercussions. I, for one, am not. So here's the deal. To have this experience of the Christ consciousness within us, something other than, and I can only say this in words, something other than intellectual efforts and intellectual prowess and emotionality has to be taking place. The Immaculate Conception is when you and I arrive at a certain place within us due to our effort in letting go of our ego, our vanity, our pride, what we believe in, what we think of as right, and what we think of as wrong, and begin to enter into that blessed state where we merge with the universe, where we become one with the whole of everything that is life itself. This happens in meditation. It's a profound moment. And when it does, the human part of us is put aside. And the most loving and beautiful part of us is awakened. In this moment, in these times when we are meditating, and all of a sudden, a quality of energy that is finer, more beautiful, an energy that equates to evolution, spiritual evolution, where we start to mature and grow and move past the idea of our human mind and what it can fathom. We move into this thing called the love of our life. And we become that love of this life. We become everything that this life is. We become compassion. We become caring. We become forgiving. Jesus urged forgiving more than any other aspect of human life for one reason and one reason alone. In this forgiving, we let go of the useless and unnecessary. We are no longer entangled, embodied in some foolish insight that we think we have that's about hating another person for what they've done. We let go. We don't use our energies in ways that depict the loss of consciousness within us. There comes a moment in everyone's life where this immaculate conception can happen. It occurs when I am in meditation and all of a sudden, and you know, it can happen outside of the arena of meditation, but typically it happens within it, where I no longer am merging my emotions with my thoughts. It is where I feel that divine presence within me, and I drop the idea of a me. There is no more Greg. The Greg is like third, fourth person. There is only this merging, this beauty, this essence. And it is put forward so much so that it has created not a new person, but a new experience, because you and I are an experience. We are an experience of love. We are an experience of life. We are an experience that goes beyond the words that even I can use. I can't even fathom this direct experience. I've had it. You can have it. Anyone can have it. It is not something you prove to people. It's not something you can talk about with people. It is a new presence within you. This immaculate conception means something new is born in you. Something other than the person you and I have become is born in us. And in this birth, this rebirth as it is, you have two births. You have your physical birth, which is the opportunity for the second birth, which is the merging of our hearts into our life, our authentic hearts, not my Greg Penn heart, not my ego heart, not my human pride, not my humanness, but something other than the humanness of a Gregory. This is not a struggle, this is a birth. And when it happens, and it can happen, as I say, in anyone at any time, really, everything shifts. You are no longer a man. You are no longer a woman. You are no longer a human. You are not living as a human. You have the human experience all around you. You live in a human body. And you can live there for many years. I have been with awakened men and women. And when they awaken, they still have itches and scratches. They still have to poop and pee. They still have to eat. They have the same things you and I have in the human body, but something else has happened. Now they are a visitor, and they know they're a visitor. They are not trying to think of themselves in the totality of their humanness as being divine, because that would ruin it. Then it's gone. No, no, no. You realize you are a visitor. You are here for a while in this body, but you will never die. This merging of the deepest heart that lives within you with the idea of consciousness, this divine consciousness that lives within, frees you, liberates you, allows you to live beyond the concepts of thinking. The most profound moment in your life will be when you discover, honestly, that you don't need to think anymore, that life is not a matter of thought, that thoughts are useless. And what has replaced thoughts is the presence of love. You'll see, you can do this. And that, my dear Sid, is the virgin birth, as it were. It is not of this earth. It is of another realm that most people can't even fathom. And I just kept it real simple here. I hope it helped. Please forgive me, Sid. Namaste. The last question comes from Chase in Manhattan Beach. What can Christmas mean to us, Greg? It's so silly, so commercialized. Who can get beyond the romantic aspect of it? Chase. It's not the day, Chase. It's the moment. It's not the 25th of December. It's this moment. A moment where you are sitting quietly, silently, and suddenly, it happens. Something of the other shore becomes very obvious. And you start moving without trying to into that other shore. A certain oneness begins to occur within. A certain beauty. Nothing is the same. Christmas isn't a day. It's a spiritual experience. It's something that happens as an experience, a direct one. Never be fooled by the idea of trying to celebrate it and have it be one day. It's every day. It's every moment of your life. It's the beauty of everything. It is recognizing beauty in all things. It is recognizing the need for forgiveness, compassion. It is the ability to actually feel a sense of profound love without the need to make it fit our human experience, our human thinking. And when I am no longer trying to make Christmas fit my mentality as a man, that is when Christmas becomes the living embodiment of our souls. We actually discover the soul, and we move into it as a way of life. That is Christmas. And that is what it's all about, 24/7. Chase, you can sum it all up with something I always say. Let love live you. Thank you for your beautiful question on this Christmas morning. And please forgive me, hey? Namaste. You have a wonderful Christmas. I'll be back with you next week for the new year. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.